Strand.
Hi, I'm Jim Stroud.
And this is Karen Matinen, and welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge.
The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry, and it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
SGA, Executive Tracker Pro, is an online service providing contact information on thousands of executives at each of the top public and private companies. And hear this, people. It is 100%, yes, 100% telephone verified, constantly updated, highly accurate, and comprehensive. With SGA Executive Tracker Pro, you have at your fingertips the contact information of C-level executives and all of those essential director and management level personnel that you just can't seem to find anywhere else. Listen up, people. SGA Executive Tracker Pro can dramatically shorten the amount of time it takes you to find the best leads. Hey, pick up the phone right now and give them a call. Tell them Jim Stroud said, I could have a free 15-minute online demonstration of your product, and I want to see it right now. The number you need to make that happen is 518-843-4611. That's 518-843-4611. And, of course, you can also find them online at www.sgaexecutivetracker.com.
Hello there, and welcome to the exciting world of HIP. This is a new departure in language instruction for English-speaking people who want to talk to and be understood by jazz musicians, hipsters, beatniks, juvenile delinquents, and the criminal fringe.
Bonjour, madame. Bonjour, monsieur. Nous allons, grâce à ce disque créé spécialement pour vous, essayer de tirer ensemble le maximum de qualité sonore de votre chaîne Haute Fidélité.
Sit back. Relax. And close your eyes.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is your host with the most, Jim Stroud. And with me in the Recruiter's Lounge is always my faithful companion, Karen Matinen. How are you, Karen?
I thought I was your BFF forever.
My BFF, Karen. BFF, Karen. I will do it again. Hello, people. This is Jim Stroud, and with me in the Recruiter's Lounge is my BFF, Karen. How are you, Karen?
I am fine, Jim. Extremely exhausted. I am finally home for two more days before I go back on the road with
R4. That's
right.
You're on the R4 tour.
Yes, I am.
The national tour.
The national tour. And it's actually been a lot of fun. I've met some of the most beautiful people. I mean, incredibly beautiful.
Okay, then drop some names.
Drop some titles. Okay, well, we had one of the heads of the IRS and the EOC at this most recent one. This was going to be the one, I guess, mostly on regulation. But we also, Carl Schusterman, he's one of the biggest lawyers in regards to pro-immigration.
Yeah.
Then we had the Center of Immigration Reform just recently speaking. They're totally against immigration. So we got a pro and a con. We had, in regards to some speakers, Dave Sarzi. Dave Sarzi, really great speaker. He's a trainer with Recruiter Academy. Then, of course, there's Dave Knutson of the Knutson Group, one of the biggest trainers out there. Then, of course, you have Greg Dorshing and Doug Bebot. We can't forget Doug Bebot. He's really awesome.
We love Doug. Hello, Doug. We love you.
Definitely. And what we did have a roving – we have the roving reporter, Colleen Gilday. Colleen,
okay.
She is with the – what is it?
Recruiting News?
Yes.
Yeah.
The list goes on because there are like 40 speakers, and I really don't want the time to sit down and discuss who all of them. But this really was one of my favorite ones.
Right. I know people can get more information on the conference itself and how they can also watch videos of what they've missed.
Well, actually, it's a little bit more detailed than that. I mean, just quickly review. Well, everything that we've been doing is we've been videotaping all of the conferences. And what's going to happen is they're going to be for sale for 1 year. They'll be found on both R4 Conference and HireCentrics. We will be alerting everyone about this at a later date. But that's the basic premise, is that we were out there on the road to try to make sure we got these all taped and gathered and videotaped with the materials too, okay? So people can go on there and see what these people are asking. These are all but the hot topics in our industry. One
okay,
of the
now,
topics.
Yeah. Now, I understand well, yeah, some of your guests, but someone I know is scratching their head, like, why is the IRS at R4? What was the relevance of the IRS being there?
Okay, first off, R4 means for recruiting, risk management, regulation, and retention in the recruiting and employment industry. I was going to say human capital, but I got to tell you, I cannot stand that word. And I think it's time that we in the industry find someone, a marketing director or someone, who can go out there and give us a brand new way of expressing the word human capital. I just can't stand that, okay?
Well, you don't like that word. I hear it all the time. I'm used to it.
Well, I guess because when I think of human capital, I think of people herding cows. And we are not capital. We are people.
You know, someone could say that's a lot like recruiting.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem, is that we have forgotten the human aspect of human resources. I always say that. Why don't we put the H back in human resources? Let's put back the human in it, you know? But anyways, with the IRS, that's a huge topic. In fact, we even had them speaking 3 different times. And the last one was one of the better ones, too. In fact, we had one of the heads of the IRS speaking. I think there was guys were involved. Well, he couldn't discuss it. I couldn't get him to discuss it or open up a little bit too much. But there's a bio online with regards to the UPS, you know, $3 million deal, $300 million.
Yeah.
Right. This guy was. This guy was involved.
Whatever you can say about that, so people have an idea of what allegedly happened with UPS.
Okay. Well, what happened is that
allegedly.
They're paying.
No, I said, okay, so no longer allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, they're paying.
Okay, all right.
It's $386 million that they're going to be paying for 1 year alone.
$386 million UBS is paying?
1 year. Just for 1 year. They're planning to go back 4 years on this.
Wow.
Based upon the news I saw online, they have to go back. Now, is this FedEx or UPS? It is UPS, isn't it, right? I always get the two mixed up.
Mr. Brown, the big brown.
Yes, you're right.
Brown, for you.
Well, what happens is that they were saying that the drivers were contractors for some unforsaken way. I mean, it's like, come on, guys, you know. Well, why do I have a problem? Okay, first off, and so they decided to make them all contractors and said that they were contractors, so they weren't taking out their taxes and they weren't helping match the taxes, the FICA, the unemployment, Social Security, all that stuff, okay? So these people were on their own. I mean, in other words, they're not getting Social Security. They're not getting unemployment. And, of course, the government's not getting the match and all this if these people are even going to pay their FICA, their taxes, or et cetera.
Hold on. That concerns me because I know a lot of companies that do the independent contractor thing. I mean, I can't really say everybody's doing it, but everybody's doing it. So what's the big deal?
Well, it's pretty much. I mean, when I saw the statistics that came out from the Department of Labor, they said close to that this misclassification in one way or the other has gone up at least 80% in the last 8 years alone.
80%?
80%, and close to 84% or more of companies will misclassify in one way or the other.
Okay. 80% of companies are misclassifying candidates.
Both of them were 80. It was about an 80-80. Okay, it was like 78, and the other was 84, something like that, okay? So I'm going to just kind of run it off to 80-80, okay?
All right, so you can say everybody's doing it.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, and the thing about it is our industry is very, very prevalent. In fact, I mean, I was just reading an email that came across my desk from one of those big, huge social networks in our industry.
Yeah.
And you know, that's where I always say the blind is always educating the blind.
Yeah.
Perfect example is this one guy was like saying, you know, hey, you know, don't go ahead and hire people. Instead, bring them on, have your people go ahead and create licensed companies, and then pay them a salary, I mean, pay them hourly or whatever, in other words, pay them as a contractor. So you don't have to pay the FICA and everything else, okay? And have them do whatever you want them to do. Well, guess what, guys? That's illegal. It's not going to happen. It isn't right. It's not, I'm sorry, but that's not how it's done. That person you're bringing on, if you want to make them as a temp, then make them a temp. Call them a temporary employee. Okay, but guess what? You still got to pay the FICA. You still got to pay unemployment. You still got to pay your portion of the tax.
Okay, wait. I got to call foul. Because I know there are companies like Kelly or But Manpower, they do this kind of stuff all the time, right?
Right. I mean, seriously, if it was such a great idea.
They hire people as contractors all the time.
No, they don't. They hire them as temporary employees.
Kelly doesn't hire people as contractors.
No.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. As I said, if it was such a great idea, these companies would have these people going ahead and creating a company and then going ahead and billing them as such. Believe me, if it was such a great idea, all of these staffing companies would do that. All the big persons, the Manpowers, all of them would do that. If they're doing it, that means they've been busted for it, and that's illegal, or they haven't been busted yet. But I can tell you, I mean, I've heard some of the big ones have done it with their recruiters, thinking they can get away with it.
Mm.
It just means that they haven't been called out on it yet. But I know some companies who have been in California. I know of two huge ones who have been called, but that would be individually offices. Most of the time, if you hear of an office doing it, it's an individual office. It's not a national office, and that's because there is a silly person reading silly advice from silly people and managing that office and hasn't really gone to the client corporate and said, this is what we're doing. I do know of a huge company, and I was at the conference. I was speaking to some people. There was another conference in town, by the way, a recruiting conference at the time. And there was one woman standing with me at the hotel, and she said that this huge corporation, Fortune 50 actually, had in-house company recruiters that they had done, and you know, they had hired as contractors. Well, they had an internal audit, and that was nixed them on off. That was just ended immediately.
Really?
They had to convert them into full-time employees. I know of several large companies right now who are converting their contractors as employees. And I keep always scratching my head and wondering, why did Google, from what I've heard, okay, someone told me back in November they got rid of a large portion of their contractors?
Yeah, that's true.
It is true, because I heard it. I don't know how true it was.
Well, I won't say it's true. I'll say I've heard that as well.
Okay. And so I'm here scratching my head because I know one thing. I know I don't see their jobs on the boards anymore. They used to have thousands of jobs on the networks about this, and they don't either. Now, I wonder if it's anything to do with the fact that they've been trying to come government contractors themselves. Because I know that
it could be because the economy sucks. So just to
because the economy doesn't suck for them. Because I mean, they just created a whole bunch of things with T-Mobile. They've got new hardware/software product with T-Mobile.
Oh, they also have a new phone coming out.
That's what I'm talking
really
about.
Cool. Yeah, it's called
with T-Mobile.
Google, it's called Google Android. They are with T-Mobile.
Is it not T-Mobile? It's not T-Mobile. God, I can't remember the name of the phone company.
I don't know, but it's called Google Android. And I saw I saw a demo of it from the Google Play.
Right. Well, you see, because of the fact that they're working with a contractor, a government contractor, they themselves will now have to be considered a contractor themselves. Okay. They're a subcontractor of a government contractor, so that means that they must be compliant as well. So I'm wondering if that may have anything to do with it. I don't know. But, I mean, I'd heard a while back that they were trying to become government contractors.
Okay,
interesting.
I'm getting lost in some weeds here. Okay, so let's say that I'm a company and I got, you know, a bazillion contract recruiters, and I don't want to get slapped on the wrist or anything. So should I just make them all say they're all temporary recruiters and start paying them?
Okay, you can call them whatever you want to call them, as long as you call them employee. You could call them a temporary employee, permanent employee, whatever you want to call them. But as long as you're authorizing these guys' work, you're telling them what to do, that if they're working predominantly for you and have no one else they're working for, that they have a boss they report to, then they have a signature.
So if they're working for me and someone else, then I'm okay?
Not really. It all depends. There's several different things. If you're telling them how to do the job, when to do the job, paying their expenses, what to do, and they're okay, let me give you a perfect example. Your attorney, when I've got an attorney, I've got an accountant. My accountant, I send him my information. He does the work for me, but I don't tell him how to do it. I don't authorize or control how he does his work. Okay, and he doesn't go ahead and display or represent that he's working for me. He has his own company. He actually monitors himself, and he has 100 other clients that tell him that he does. He doesn't pay my expenses. Now, as a recruiter, I own my own company. I have one of my clients is United Technologies. I cannot see United Technologies as my client ever paying my expenses. Hell no. I mean, that's not going to happen. Guess what? Even as a retained search, they pay me on a retainer. I will take out the stuff for the expenses, but they're not paying my expenses. You know, that's part of the you know, you can put it in there as part of the issue. But again, they don't tell you what to do. They can't tell you, hey, you're only working for us and you can't work for anyone else, even on a retained search. There's no way. If not, that becomes an employee-type relationship. The moment that I'm walking into the office, the moment I'm going in there and I'm and these guys, or even if I'm working from home, I could still be working from home as a contract employee, but still be considered an employee. Because I have to report, I have to go to meetings, or I have business cards that state that I work with these guys, or my email states that I work with these guys. I have no other clients. All of these issues define how the level of control, okay, defines that I am an employee, not a contractor. A contractor, in the true sense of the word, is like what your painter that comes to your house, or your lawyer, or your attorney, not the ones working for you as a client. I mean, not the ones as a general counsel that works inside of your offices, okay?
Okay, is there a checklist somewhere that we can post that says, okay, if you're doing this,
oh,
and this,
God,
you're
no.
Trouble.
There is a checklist. It's a 20 checklist, okay? And people assume that you have to have all 20 or whatever. No. I mean, the IRS literally puts it as a defining a level of control, and there is a 20-point checklist. Now, one of the things I would suggest people to do, this IRS, the one about the IRS, the guy who was speaking at R4, he was really, really good, okay? And he tried to really simplify it. Plus, he also had some contracts and some numbers and some things you could actually just fill out for yourself. Then you can turn in to say, am I a contractor or am I not? Now, what they do, too, is they're not going to come down. If you're if you're misclassifying and they can see you really are trying to find out,
yeah,
they'll work with you. They
okay,
will
so,
actually work with you.
Okay,
and they
hold
won't,
on. So if I'm the company and I have a lot of contract recruiters and I want to make sure I don't get slapped on the behind later, I call them up and say, hey, am I doing this right? Help me through. And they won't fine me any money?
I'm not going to say that they won't fine you any money. No, actually, I don't think they will automatically. I'm not going to say yay or nay. I'm not going to say that, okay? But they do decide, they do define that they do work with you. So I would say probably you're not. If you're going to try not to, it's like it's better to get the problem taken care of before you get busted. Before, I'm serious. I mean, if they come in and do an audit, and by the way, it just takes one person working for you to go ahead and spill the beans.
Okay. Cause I know you get people scared here.
There should be.
Let me do this for the benefit of the listeners who are going, oh, snap. All right, now, if I wanted to get this checklist of the 20 things I need to do to not get in trouble, where can I find this list?
I would suggest going to R4 and getting the information and listening first. I really do.
So if you go to
R4. The reason I'm serious. We put together, now wait till about another week and a half to 2 weeks. This is very highly important, okay? I'm not going to give out a list of checklists or anything else without people actually listening to this guy, okay?
Okay.
And I'm sorry, but my information, this information is accurate. I'm not trying to just sell something. I'm not a professional. I'm not the IRS. This is an expensive proposition, and this is an expensive issue. The IRS can come after you for back taxes. It comes back to you for penalties. They come back to you for all the interest. It is not something you want to take lightly. And, yes, if you're saying, oh, snap, then you really should be going ahead and saying, oh, snap. And I really suggest you should be talking to an employment accountant or an employment attorney. I'll tell you, most attorneys do not give accurate information. For all people who say, well, I have an attorney, or an accountant, I got to tell you something. So did FedEx. So did UPS. So did all the companies who are being busted for this right now.
Okay, so when people go to the r4conference.com and listen to that information, they're hearing it from the mouth of the head of the IRS or people who actually are the ones who come after companies that do that. So if they go, online and watch the video, or if they hear this in time and sign up for some of the events,
yeah, because
they can hear from the IRS themselves what they need to do and not do.
Well, let me just give you a heads up, okay? One of the reasons that I made this, we had the IRS speak three different times on this, okay, on how to define if you are a contractor or subcontractor and the difference between them and what to do to make sure you get the information. There were two people who were really excuse my expression on this, but I got to tell you something. The FedEx is going to probably pay $1 billion when all is said and done.
Now,
$1 billion is a lot of money.
Okay, that number is high, too, because they have a whole lot of employees, right?
Well, yeah, but they're going back 4 years.
Wow. So
you got to remember they're going back four years.
Even if you're a smaller firm in comparison to FedEx.
Well, let me give you an example of a small
firm. So they can hit you for every employee you have or have had over the past 4 years.
Well, I actually can go back to things. I think 4 years is not the cutoff, but let me give another example. I think the cutoff is how much they can come after you, by the way. But let's give another example. I recently heard about a staffing firm a recruiting firm out in a different state, okay? I just said I'm not going to put out too much information, protect these people, okay, who gave me information.
Right.
But anyways, there's a staffing firm who just recently had an employee who said, look, enough is enough. You know, we're being misclassified. They weren't getting overtime. Now, we talked about the overtime issue, too, okay, with regards to that. They were being misclassified. So every employee, it's now a class action. Every employee that has worked at this company for the past 4 years and every employee that is working at this company for now, presently, is now involved in this class action. So this doesn't just go after the employees you have currently. That's one of the reasons, for example, that Walmart has had in one lawsuit 750,000 people. Because it can go after former employees as well.
Wow.
See, and that's the problem people just look at and go, oh, okay, I've got this great idea. Again, make sure when you talk to people, don't just use one opinion, go with several. Don't just go with what you want to hear. If somebody's telling you something and you don't like it, guess what? Test some truth in that, and don't think you can push the boat on this. The reason I dislike this, the reason I made this such a big deal, the reason I get very angry at this, that $1 billion that FedEx should have been paying, as far as I'm concerned, that is money that Chicago could have had or Illinois could have had. We're in a fiscal crisis. Our country is hurting. So if all these companies are doing it, like FedEx is and all these other ones, not FedEx, sorry, UPS, if all these companies are doing this, can you imagine how much it's costing our state, our government, our federal, that city that they may be in?
Let me ask you this. How much does it cost to attend one of the R4 conference sessions, especially this one dealing with the IRS and this misclassification?
I believe it's $149 at this point. We might be diluted. I don't know. I'm looking at the recession. I'm looking at the economy. And at this point, it's $149.
Okay, well, a $149 investment in something that could literally
cost
millions
of dollars. Well, that's just the one. We are allowing people to either, we're going to go by segments. You could go to buy by city, by recruiting, by regulation or retention, risk management. Or we are going to allow people to buy the whole product. You know, if you
sure,
take one
sure.
or take two, you can say, you know, it's worth it to take the whole thing. The beautiful thing about it is when
you take
one of these classes, you can actually go and take it, watch it, like what you saw, come back and try it, you know, and then come back and try and read it, revisit that class again, and then go back and try something else and revisit up to literally, we're letting people come back and see it up to 90 days. Actually, I don't know if it's 90 or 180, because right now we're kind of like in the process of how long, all that stuff is how long we're going to let it be. So, you know, guys, come on, give us some suggestions. What would you like it to be? What do you think is fair and reasonable for your pocketbook? And don't say zero. Thank you.
I just think it's a good this is the point, to spend $150 or even $500, whatever for that case, if it's going to save a company millions of dollars on the back end.
Millions. I mean, you're talking millions.
It's a nominal fee to pay, so a very nominal fee to pay.
I mean, think about it. If you're just a regular taxes, they're going to cost you X, Y, and Z, and then you have all those interest. But then you got to look at the fact, I mean, you're dealing with, okay, for your fight, okay, let's say I pay myself, hypothetically, I pay myself $2,000 a month. Everything that I take out on top of that to match myself, my company has to take out a check of $4,000.
Mm.
Yeah, it cost me near $4,000 to pay myself $2,000.
Wow.
Okay? So that's because my company has to match my tax burden. It has to match me my Social Security. Then there's the workman's compensation. There's all those other state and federal taxes. Those issues are all coming to play with the company matches. Well, here's the problem. When a company decides, I don't want to match you, I'm going to let you try to take on that tax burden. 90% of the time, that poor guy doesn't even know he's supposed to take on that. A lot of these people are simply ignorant in the law and don't even know what they're supposed to do, and they think they can hide from this. So you'll find a lot of those people who were drivers didn't even go ahead and pay their own tax burden. So that means that not only was the company not matching, these people themselves were not matching. Now, this is where I see a problem, and I see it in our industry a lot, and it bothers me big time. I see so many people who are contractors. They say, I want to make $100,000 a year, okay, so as a contractor. Well, then I like laughing. Do you realize that as an employee, if you got paid $70,000 a year with your client company, with your company matching it, you're actually making more than if you're paid $100,000 a year on a tax burden if you're a contractor in the true sense of the word?
So people make more money as an employee versus as a contractor?
Think about this. As a contractor, when I own my own company, okay, and I'm billed, I say I got a $50,000 check, I'm going to pay my company has to pay taxes on it, but my company also has to pay my personal taxes. I'm in a higher tax bracket. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Right.
I'm in a higher tax bracket. I have to match my Social Security. Me, myself, Karen, has to match my Social Security as well. You understand where I'm going with this?
Yes. So you're losing money on taxes.
You're losing money both ways, both the company aspect as well, okay,
If you're doing it legitimately.
And you're in a higher tax burden. Well, if you're not doing it legitimately, it will come back and haunt you. What did they say? You can never get around paying taxes and death, right?
Yeah.
You know, you will get busted, okay? It's not a matter of if. It's always a matter of when, because you can fight the taxes, you can fight the IRS, but you will get busted. And by the way, for every one of your employees that say, well, they're not going to squeal on me, guess what? Every time they themselves get busted, there's three fingers pointing right back at you.
Because they don't look at their past employment history to see.
No, you could also look at what you're doing right now. If the IRS says, hey, Mr. Employee, where are you working? Okay, and you're being misclassified as a contractor here. We can see that by your documents. Okay, we got to go check out your company that you're working at.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like an obvious, okay? And that's how it happens. A lot of companies get busted. I hear people say, oh, they won't look at me. I'm too small. Or they're going to have to prove my guilt. And that's another thing. I mean, I was talking to EOC about this, too, the other day, you know? And I was laughing about how some companies will go ahead and say, yeah, they'll have to prove that I'm guilty. And I'm like, no, they don't have to prove your guilt. This is not like in the court of law, you know, like you're innocent until you're proven guilty. Wrong. You are the company. You have to prove you're innocent. And you don't have to have intent to be found guilty.
Very sobering. Well, not to cut you off, but I'm cutting you off.
But before you cut me off, I want to say something. I understand, but I'd like to close with something, okay?
Yep.
Very, very, very brief point. You're in the employment industry, folks, as a recruiter, not as an sourcer, but as a recruiter or as an HR. Recruiting, by the way, is HR. And for those who do not believe that, believe me, every step of the recruiting process, you can be sued by one of those alphabet employment agencies. Every single step of the process, EEOC, Department of Labor, or the IRS, INS, you name it, these guys can come after you. Every single step of the recruiting process. That's why it is considered to be HR. Why you must be up to date, and yes, this is sobering to you, but actually it should be reality. I look at this stuff and I just play it as common sense and facts. It's like driving down the street. It's sobering for me to know that I can pay $200 an hour $200 for driving over 100 miles an hour. Actually, it's about 500, by the way. But it's sobering, so I do it. So what I learned is I learned the law so I know what not to do. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And again, let's plug your conference, r4conference.com, to find out more information about what Karen is ranting about. Is it something that you can just ignore? Is it just Karen being crazy, or is it something that you really need to look
at? I'm crazy anyways. Don't worry about that part.
Well, it's been fun and educational as always, Karen. Thank you for being in the lounge. No, I won't ask you any final words. That was the final word. We're running low on time. Thank you, guys. If you would, please check us out, therecruiterslounge.com. Tell a friend. Come listen. Come often. And a lot of great things happening on the site. Also, if you would, on therecruiterslounge.com, in the upper part of the website is a link called the 2008 Reader Survey. If you would, click that link and let us know what you think about the site and how we can improve. And we definitely would appreciate it. So until next time, I will just say bye-bye.
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 Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's jimstroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.
Radio, Radio, Radio Talent Zoo.
Innovative audio on demand.